Royalty in Ruins, Chapter 21, Elisha's Closing Ministry. Elisha lived to see many changes in the kingdom of Israel. Hazael the Syrian had afflicted the apostate nation. Jehu had executed all the family of Ahab. Jehoahaz, Jehu's successor, had lost some of the cities east of the Jordan to invaders. For a time, it had seemed that the Syrians might gain control over the entire kingdom. But the reformation Elisha carried forward led many to turn to God. These forsook the altars of Baal, and slowly, yet surely, God's purpose was being fulfilled in those who chose to serve him with all their heart. Out of his love for erring Israel, God permitted the Syrians to afflict them. Because of his compassion for those whose moral power was weak, he raised up Jehu to kill Jezebel and the whole line of Ahab. Once more, through God's merciful workings, the priests of Baal and Ashtoreth were set aside and their heathen altars thrown down. God foresaw that if temptation were removed, some would turn away from heathenism. This is why he permitted disaster after disaster to come to them. And when his purpose was accomplished, he turned the tide in favor of those who had learned to seek him. While Satan was doing all in his power to complete the ruin he had accomplished during the reign of Ahab and Jezebel, Elisha continued to bear his testimony. He met with opposition, yet none could refute his message. Many came to him for counsel. Joram, king of Israel, sought his advice, and once in Damascus, messengers from Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, visited him. To all, the prophet bore faithful witness in a time when the great majority of the people were openly rebelling against heaven. And God never forsook his chosen messenger. On one occasion, the king of Syria tried to destroy Elisha because he told the king of Israel about the plans of the enemy. The Syrian king had counseled with his servant, saying, "My camp will be in such and such a place." The Lord revealed his plan to Elisha, who sent to the king of Israel, "Beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down there." Then the king of Israel sent someone to the place of which the man of God had told him. Thus he warned him, and he was watchful there, not just once nor twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing, and he called his servants and said to them, "Will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel?" And one of his servants said, "None, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel. Tell the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom." 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 8 through 12. Determined to capture the prophet, the Syrian king commanded, "Go and see where he is, that I may send and get him." On learning that the prophet was in Dothan, the king sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. Verses 13 through 15. In terror, Elisha's servant came to him. "Alas, my master," he said, "what shall we do?" "Do not fear," the prophet answered, "for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Then, so that the servant might know this for himself, Elisha prayed, "Lord, open his eyes that he may see." So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. An encircling band of heavenly angels had come in mighty power to protect the Lord's helpless ones. Verses 15 through 17. The Syrian soldiers advanced boldly, ignorant of the unseen armies of heaven. Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, "Strike this people, I pray, with blindness." And he struck them with blindness, according to the word of Elisha. Now Elisha said to them, "This is not the way, nor is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek." But he led them to Samaria. So it was, when they had come to Samaria, that Elisha said, "Lord, open the eyes of these men, that they may see." And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw. And there they were inside Samaria. Now the king of Israel said to Elisha,
"Shall I kill them?"
But he answered, "You shall not kill them. Would you kill those whom you have taken captive with your sword and your bow? Set food and water before them, that they may eat and drink and go to their master." Verses 18 through 22.
God honors Elisha's prophecy.
For a time after this, Israel was free from the attacks of the Syrians. But later, under King Hazael, the Syrian army surrounded Samaria and besieged it. Never had Israel been brought into so great a crisis as during this siege. The horrors of prolonged famine were driving the king of Israel to desperate measures when Elisha predicted deliverance for the following day. The next morning, before the dawn, the Lord caused the army of the Syrians to hear the noise of chariots and the noise of horses, the noise of a great army. Overcome with fear, they fled for their lives, leaving the camp intact, with rich stores of food. 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 6 and 7. During the night, four leprous men at the gate of the city, made desperate by hunger, had proposed to visit the Syrian camp and throw themselves on the mercy of the besiegers, hoping to obtain food. To their astonishment, when they entered the camp, they found that no one was there. Verse 10. With no one to stop them, they went into one tent and ate and drank and carried from it silver and gold and clothing and went and hid them. Then they came back and entered another tent and carried some from there also and went and hid it.
Then they said to one another, "We are not doing right. This day is a day of good news, and we remain silent." Verses 8 and 9.
Quickly they returned to the city with the glad news. The supplies on that day were so abundant that a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel. Verse 16, KJV.
As foretold by Elisha the day before, Elisha's message reached the honest in heart.
In ways like these, the man of God labored year by year, drawing close to the people, and in times of crisis, standing by the side of kings as a wise counselor. The dark shadow of apostasy was still everywhere, yet here and there were those who had firmly refused to bow to Baal.
As Elisha continued his work, many learned to rejoice in the service of the true God.
These miracles of divine grace cheered the prophet, inspiring him with a great longing to reach all who were honest in heart. From a human point of view, the outlook for regenerating the nation spiritually was as hopeless then as it is today. But Christ has empowered the church to do a special work. And if she is loyal to God, obedient to his commandments, no power can stand against her. The dawn of a bright, glorious day is before her if she will put on the robe of Christ's righteousness and withdraw from all allegiance to the world. Talk, courage, and hope. God calls on his faithful ones who believe in him to talk courage to those who are unbelieving and hopeless. Show humble faith in God's power and his willingness to save. When in faith, we take hold of his strength, he will change, wonderfully change, the most hopeless, discouraging outlook. He will do this for the glory of his name.
Elisha continued to take an active interest in the schools of the prophets. On one occasion, the sons of the prophet said to Elisha,
"See now, the place where we dwell with you is too small for us. Please let us go to the Jordan, and let every man take a beam from there, and let us make there a place where we may dwell." 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 1 and 2.
Elisha went with them, encouraging them, giving instruction, and even performing a miracle to aid them.
As one was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water, and he cried out and said, "Alas, master, for it was borrowed." So the man of God said, "Where did it fall?" And he showed him the place. So he cut off a stick and threw it in there, and he made the iron float. Therefore he said, "Pick it up for yourself." So he reached out his hand and took it. Verses 5 through 7.
Elisha's last days. Elisha's ministry had been so effective
that as he lay on his deathbed, even the youthful King Joash, an idol worshiper with little respect for God,
recognized that the prophet had been a father in Israel.
The king acknowledged that Elijah's presence among them was of more value in time of trouble than an army of horses and chariots. See 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 14. To many a troubled soul, the prophet had acted the part of a wise father, and in this instance, he did not turn from the godless young king before him. So unworthy of the position of trust he was occupying, and yet so greatly in need of counsel, God was bringing the king an opportunity to redeem the past and exalt his kingdom once again. God intended to drive out the Syrian enemy. Once more, God was to display his power in behalf of wayward Israel. The dying prophet told the king, "Take a bow and some arrows." Joash obeyed. Then the prophet said, "Put your hand on the bow." And Elisha put his hands on the king's hands, and he said, "Open the east window toward the cities under Syrian control beyond Jordan." 2 Kings chapter 13, verses 15 through 17. When the king had opened the window, Elisha told him to shoot. As the arrow sped on its way, the prophet was inspired to say, "The arrow of the Lord's deliverance from Syria, for you must strike the Syrians at Aphek till you have destroyed them." 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 17. And now the prophet tested the faith of the king. Instructing Joash to take up the arrows, he said, "Strike the ground." Three times the king struck the ground.
"You should have struck five or six times," Elisha cried in dismay.
"Then you would have struck Syria till you had destroyed it. But now you will strike Syria only three times." Verses 18 and 19. The lesson is for everyone in a position of trust. When God gives assurance of success, his chosen agents must do all in their power to bring about the promised result. Success will come in proportion to the enthusiasm and perseverance with which they carry forward the work. God can work miracles for his people only as they act their part with untiring energy. People of devotion, of moral courage, with a zeal that never wearies, will labor on without flinching until apparent defeat is turned to victory. Not even prison walls will cause them to swerve from their purpose of building up God's kingdom.
Elisha, faithful to the end. With the counsel and encouragement given to Joash, Elisha's work closed.
He had proved faithful to the end. Never had he lost his trust in God's omnipotent power. Always he had advanced by faith, and God had honored his confidence.
Elisha was not called to follow his master in a fiery chariot.
Rather, the Lord permitted a lingering illness to come upon him. As on the heights of Dothan, he had seen the encircling armies of heaven, so now he was conscious of the presence of sympathizing angels, and he was sustained. As he had grown in knowledge of God's merciful kindness, his faith had ripened into an abiding trust in God, and when death called him, he was ready. "The righteous has a refuge in his death." Proverbs chapter 14, verse 32.
Elisha could say in all confidence,
"As for me, I will see your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness." Psalm 17, verse 15.